Well, I appreciate that each of you is here tonight. It's an encouragement to me and to Karen. And to me, it says that you care about spiritual things in your life and care about the other people that are here tonight and care about the church. And also that you see a value and a benefit in worship and study of God's Word and being with other Christians. Tonight I would like to entitle the lesson Anchors in the Storm. I'd like to introduce you, though, to an old friend tonight, and you've known him for a long time. I feel confident of that, but probably didn't know that he was your friend. After all, what is a friend? A friend is someone who makes you a better person. And it is a person who will tell you the truth, who will sometimes do that which might be even a little painful, uncomfortable, but in the long run, it's for your good. And so they are your friend. A person that will do that for you. The Bible gives an example of that in the book of Proverbs, chapter 27 and verse 17. It said that as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And sometimes what this is referring to is that a man who is your friend will sometimes confront you and tell you something that they have noticed that is a constructive criticism. And iron sharpens iron. And there's a cutting edge that happens because of that. And it makes you a better person. It makes you stronger in your life to have a friend who loves you enough to tell you the truth, even if it might hurt a little, in order to help you in the long run. How would you like to have a friend tonight who would help you live a clean life, draw you closer to Jesus? A friend who would give you more spiritual strength, help you even win your loved ones to Christ? How would you like to have a friend who would make you a more mature believer in Jesus Christ as the Lord? Well, you already have a friend like that. We're going to meet him tonight in John chapter 6. His name is Trouble. Trouble may seem like a strange friend, but I assure you, Trouble can do all of these things for you if, in the midst of trials that we're going through, we allow the Lord to do His perfect work in us. Trouble is a friend that can do all of this in our lives. We're going to consider a miracle of Jesus tonight in John chapter 6, where His disciples got into trouble. They got into big trouble. But Jesus was in control, and He taught them a valuable lesson. And from looking at that, we can learn that same lesson for our lives tonight. We all need to hear this message. And perhaps tonight your life is sailing along smoothly. And I hope it is. I'm thankful if that's the case in your life. And you should be too. But you need to know that when the storms come, you can go to Jesus and you can find in Him an anchor for your soul whenever those trials and troubles come in your life. So we're going to begin our study tonight in John, the 6th chapter, beginning with the 15th verse, and it's right after the feeding of the 5,000. And we talked about that last Sunday morning. Tonight we're going to move from the hillside above the Sea of Galilee where that miracle occurred, out into the middle of the Sea of Galilee itself. And from there, out in the sea, we will learn how Jesus is able to reach us in our hour of need. And as we study, I am going to point out some truths about Jesus in the lesson tonight that will, I believe, anchor your heart and your faith when the storms of life do come. And so we're going to begin by reading and looking at this context. And the first anchor that we want to see in this lesson tonight is this, that when you are in the storm, you are in God's providence. It may come as a surprise to you, but it is no surprise to Him. He understands and He allows this for a purpose in our lives. And in John the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 15, this is what we read. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take Him by force to make Him king, He departed again to the mountain by Himself alone. Now when evening came, His disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. Now Jesus had just fed the 5,000. The crowds were very excited at that miracle, and they wanted to make Him king. But Jesus had no interest in being that kind of king, so He withdrew to the mountain to pray, to get away from the people. But before He did this, He sent His disciples down to the water to go across the Sea of Galilee to return to Capernaum. It is a distance probably across that part of the Sea of Galilee of maybe about 5 miles trip. And on a calm night, the water there is tranquil, very calm. While the sun is going down and the birds are flying over the water, and if you were to go there today on a summer evening, you would feel the gentle breeze and look out over the water of the Sea of Galilee, and it'd be very calm, almost like glass. John says here that it was evening, a beautiful time of day. And the last thing that the disciples expected was trouble. They were experienced sailors who set sail that evening because Jesus told them to go ahead and return back to Capernaum. And in Matthew's account, in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22, we find that it said that Matthew says immediately Jesus made His disciples get into the boat. The word made His disciples get into the boat. In the King James Version, it says constrained them to get into the boat and go before Him to the other side while He sent the multitudes away. So it was Jesus who told them to go ahead and get in the boat to return to the other side. He would come later and rejoin them. So it was it did not expect to see any great storm coming that night, at that point at least. The disciples were very full of joy also on this occasion, this evening. Because they had just seen this great miracle that Jesus, their master, had fed 5,000 people. And they were filled with a sense of exhilaration, and it was an unbelievable event, an amazing thing that had happened. And they had all eaten of this food themselves, and they were filled with bread and fish, and they were talking about this, and they were sailing into the teeth of a storm, and they didn't realize this as this evening proceeded on into the darkness. Now, I want to point out that we have all been there like the disciples were that evening. Because everything is going along very smoothly, as I am saying, in your life, everything is great. And we're sailing along smoothly, everything is beautiful. And then the storm of unexpected circumstances hits very suddenly. It's happened to probably most of us in this room tonight. Those winds on the Sea of Galilee are very unpredictable. And they can come up very suddenly. It's surrounded by hills. It's kind of in a deep chasm of the Jordan River passing through that area. And the winds kind of forms a tunnel and can come down upon you very quickly. They're out in the sea. So on this evening here, huge waves began to swirl around the ship and beginning to overlap the boat, and they were beginning to be very fearful that it was going to throw the ship over. We're told here in some of the accounts that the wind was contrary. Matthew says in Matthew chapter 14, verse 24, the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth night, the watch of the night, Jesus came to them. Matthew fills in some of the details here that John doesn't report all of these. It says that the storm hit during the darkest part of the night, between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. And there the disciples were out in the sea, and they were rowing, and their backs were aching, and their hands were tired, but they couldn't stop because they were out there in the middle of the sea. They couldn't turn around and go back, and it was difficult to go forward, and it was too far to swim to shore. They couldn't see the land in the darkness, and so they were filled with despair. But all this while, Jesus, their plight was fully known to Jesus. Jesus knew all of what was happening. It's impossible for Him who created the seas to be surprised by a storm. He was in control, as He always is. The entire incident was ordered by Jesus, was planned by Jesus. He was the one who sent them out into the storm. And they were there because they were following His will. They were following the will of the Lord. Maybe some of us are there right now. Our little boat is tossing. The waves are splashing all around us. It's so dark you can't see. The winds are contrary. But don't forget that there is nothing that we encounter except what Jesus allows, because He's in control. And one way or another, we are under His providential care. We may not be able to see that. We may not be able to see Jesus there with us in the darkness, as they were not able to see Him there with them at this time. But He has His eye on you. God is in control, and your storm is not beyond His reach tonight. Now, that's the first anchor that I see here in this, that as you are in the storm, Jesus is in control, and you are under His providential care while this is happening. Second anchor, though, that we find in this lesson is this, that when the storm is worst, you are able to grow stronger in your faith. When the storm is at its worst, you at that moment are able to grow in your faith in God. And that's a good thing. Because God's plan is to enlarge you in your faith in God. God's plan is not to indulge you. His plan is not necessarily to make us happy, but to make us holy. We think about the times when I have grown most in my life. And probably the same you can think about in your life. When are the times that you've grown the most? And when is the time that you developed and grew in your spiritual maturity? I think it was those times when this friend I'm talking about, trouble, was there with you and he came along with you that time. That's the time when you were growing spiritually in your life. We try to avoid trouble, and rightly so, because no one really enjoys trials. But we need to realize that God often allows us to suddenly find ourselves in the middle of afflictions in order to develop us. The Lord allowed this storm for the benefit of His disciples. And I can tell you that that's when I've grown the most in my life, during the most trying times. One of those, a lot of you know, is when Mandy was in the hospital going through her surgeries that she had. That was a time that was very difficult for Karen and I. But we grew a lot in our faith during that time. And I hope and pray that that doesn't ever happen again in our life. But I can tell you that I'm a better person because of those trials that we went through. It really is true that we are enlarged when we are in distress. It's kind of like developing film. I'm talking about the old type of film, that it develops best in the darkness. And God's plan for our spiritual growth includes storms and trials in our life. So when the storm is at its worst, you grow stronger during that experience when you put your faith in God. James 1, verse 2 through 4 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." We come to the third anchor now in John chapter 6. And the third anchor is that when you are in the storm, you are being blessed by His prayers. Jesus is praying for you when you are going through trials. How do we know that? Well, in this account here, it tells us, as we read a moment ago, in John 6 and verse 15, that when Jesus perceived they were about to come and take Him by force, He departed again to the mountain by Himself alone. But the question is, what was He doing up there in the mountain? We know that He wanted to get away from the crowds. He needed some time to Himself. But in Matthew 14:23, tells us, it says, when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. And when evening came, He was alone there. Now, from the mountaintop, Jesus had a perfect vantage point. He was able to look out into the Sea of Galilee. He could see what was happening, at least until it got really dark. He saw the sea and the storm coming in, the waves beginning to rise. He knew the disciples were out there rowing desperately. In Mark's account, Mark 6 and verse 48, it actually says, that account, it says, "Then He saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now by about the fourth watch of the night, He came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by." So I believe that Jesus saw all that was happening, and He was praying for them. The disciples probably didn't know that. They didn't know that Jesus had His eye on them, but He did. And they couldn't see Him, but He could see them. He never took his eye off them. And while he was on the mountain, he was interceding for them. He was praying for them. So we need to not forget that when we are in the midst of a storm today, that Jesus is watching over us. There is a song that we sometimes sing, "His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me." So He's watching over us, and He's praying for us. Told in Hebrews 7 and verse 25, "Therefore He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them." Now sometimes we ask people to pray for us. We have a prayer list. We put people's names on the prayer list. And we begin to pray for them when we feel that they need our prayers. And the thing of that is that we may or may not always remember to pray for those people. After all, we are human. We're forgetful. And just because someone's name is on the prayer list, it doesn't always necessarily mean that we all remember to pray for that person. Even though we mean well, we intend to do that. And to be quite honest, it would be overwhelming. It is overwhelming to have that every day to remind myself to pray for all the people that I know I need to pray for. I admit I fall short oftentimes in that. I do pray for a lot of people. And when somebody tells me they pray for me, it brings tears to my eyes sometimes. Thinking about that. People are praying for me or for our family. It touches us. But think about this. You're on Jesus' prayer list. He knows who you are, and the hairs of your head are numbered, and it's no accident. God loves each one of us. So Jesus was there in the mountain alone praying for His disciples as they went out onto the Sea of Galilee and the storm arose. That's the third anchor, that when we're in the storm, we are blessed to know that Jesus is praying for us. The fourth anchor is that in the darkest hour is when He comes to us. He comes in the darkest hour. John 6 and verse 19 says, "So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea. And drawing near the boat, and they were afraid, but He said to them, 'It is I, do not be afraid.'" Now, it was the fourth watch of the night. It was somewhere between 3 a.m., 6 a.m., darkest part of the night. Storm was still at its high point, so to speak. Why didn't He come sooner? Because these men were afraid. They were tired. Their hands were sore. And they were looking into the water, a watery grave that they were faced with. And they got to be thinking, "Where is He? Why doesn't He come help us?" But fact is, He had not forgotten them. They had almost forgotten Him, and they had forgotten already the lesson of the 5,000. They had forgotten that lesson. Look at this verse in Mark 6, verse 51. It said, "Then He went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened." Think about that. How many hours has it been since Jesus fed the multitude? 6, 8 hours? And they had not understood about the loaves? Now, that can't mean that they had forgotten about what had happened. Their stomachs were still filled. But they had not understood about the loaves. Remember when the feeding of the 5,000, at the end of that, Jesus had them take up 12 baskets of leftovers. And I personally am inclined to believe that they had those 12 baskets of fish and leftovers in the boat with them. 12 baskets, 12 men. There was a basket for each one of them right there in the boat, if that's correct. Why didn't they understand the lesson of the loaves? Well, I think it's saying that they forgot that the Lord, who could feed a multitude with a lad's lunch, was certainly able to keep the boat from drowning, if that was true. And so when he came walking in the water, and they were amazed and marveled. They had not understood the lesson from the loaves. I'm sure all of us, if we could see a miracle every day, then it would have a great impact on our lives. But how quickly we forget miracles. We're like sports fans, you know. The Seahawks won the game last week. Everybody, great. Now they didn't win. And so there's going to be things said about why they didn't win the game today. But they're a hero one moment. The next moment, everyone is ready to start booing the same players on the field. And it's that way with miracles. When Jesus performed miracles, short time passes, they have forgotten the lesson. We would be the same way. I have no doubt. Because it takes more than seeing a miracle to really have faith in Jesus. Jesus waited for a time there during the night for a purpose, because before he came and stilled the storm, but he came at just the right time. But if we had been there in the boat, with the point of view the disciples had, we'd be thinking, he sure is taking a long time to get here. Where is he? Why did he wait? Well, I think probably for the same reason that he didn't come right away when Lazarus died. When Lazarus died, Mary and Martha sent the message in John chapter 11. They said, "Our brother Lazarus is sick. Come quickly." But Jesus didn't come quickly. He waited several days and Lazarus died. And Jesus was talking to his disciples and he said, "Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad that I wasn't there for your sakes. Because now it is for the glory of God." If Jesus had come when Lazarus was sick and performed a miracle and Lazarus instantly got better, what would people say? They would say, well, maybe he would have recovered anyway. Who knows? How do we know it really was a miracle? But when Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, no one could say, might have happened that way anyway. It was obvious that it was a miracle. It brought greater glory to God. And that's why Jesus waited. Why did Jesus wait 4,000 years? Why did God wait 4,000 years to send His Son into the world? The Bible says when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son. Galatians chapter 4. So God is always on time, but not necessarily on our time schedule or on our timetable. And He's never in a hurry, but He always comes at the right time to cheer us up with His presence. The fifth anchor in the lesson tonight, during the storm, Jesus is guarding you with His power. He said in John 6 and verse 20, "It is I, do not be afraid." When Jesus sent them away, he told them to go to the other side of the sea of Galilee. And he didn't tell them to go out in the middle of the sea and drown. He said, I want you to go to the other side of the sea. And so they didn't know it, but they were safe because Jesus was guarding them with his power. Now, if you picture this in your mind, there they are out there in the darkest hour of the night, desperately rowing the boat, and suddenly there came Jesus walking to them on the water. The wind was blowing his hair and billowing his garments around the wind, but he was walking very calmly and steadily there across the waves. And as Jesus began to approach them, they began to be afraid. They thought it was a ghost. In Matthew chapter 14 and verse 26, he says, when the disciples saw him, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But Jesus spoke and said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. So their biggest fear was the water, that they were going to drown. They thought they were going to be turned over and sink down in the waves. And Jesus came walking on the water to show them that he was more powerful than the waves of the sea. And he said in John 16 and verse 33 that these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. That brings us to the last anchor, number 6 in the lesson tonight. God has not promised smooth sailing, but he has promised a safe landing. And we find that in John 6:21 it says, then they willingly received him into the boat. Yeah, I think so. And immediately, though, the boat was at land where they were going. Now think about that for a moment. There is 3 miracles here that happened. Because Jesus' purpose for this trip was for them to make it to the other side of the sea. And by the time that he came walking on the sea, they weren't sure if they were going to ever reach that goal. So it's not surprising when it says they willingly received him into the ship. But then when you read the rest of the verse, you find what's really amazing. It said that immediately the ship was at the land where they were going. So Jesus not only suspended the law of gravity and walked on the water, he took control over the forces of the storms, of the winds and the sea, to instantly stop the storm and calm the waves of the sea. And he also overruled the law of time and space so that in an instant they moved from where they were to the shore. Well, their backs were sore from rowing, and it would have probably still taken them another hour or so to make it to shore even after the storm stopped. But when Jesus came on board, they reached their destination immediately, and his purpose for them to get to the other side was fulfilled. The point is that he has a purpose in your life today for you to make it to the other shore. And if your life is surrendered to God and you're living by your faith in him, in obedience to his will, God is guiding you to that purpose. No matter how often your friend trouble shows up in your life, God's promise is still sure. He said in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, I will never forsake you nor leave you. And in Philippians 1 verse 6, it said, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So he promises that his purpose is to see us through the difficult tests of our faith. Sometimes the storms will come and they will even sometimes rise over our heads. But Jesus has everything under his power. He's watching over us. He doesn't promise to perform a miracle and get us out of everything that happens in life, but his purpose is that we would see beyond that to the fact that he is there with us. so that we will reach the final shore and we will spend eternity with Him. One of these days He's going to appear again, and He's going to return in the clouds of glory to receive us as His own. When that happens, walking on water is going to be like child's play for Jesus, because He's going to be stepping on the clouds coming down out of heaven. When is that going to happen? Well, we don't know. We can see that the barometer of the world is falling quickly. The winds are rising, the storms are rising. People are saying, what is this world coming to? Well, the world is proceeding to an appointment with Jesus Christ. I can tell you that, the Lord of Lords. He is coming again to this world, and one of these days He's going to step down out of heaven with a smile of victory on His face, and the trumpet is going to sound, and our little ship will suddenly be there on the shore of eternity in an instant, the twinkling of an eye. So here's some things for us to keep in mind when the storm comes, so that we can be ready to meet Him when He comes. We need to resist the temptation to panic when the storms come. Because if we remember, God is allowing these things to happen in our lives, and we're under His providential care. We need to actually thank Him that He allows storms to come our way, not to sink us, but to help us grow in our faith. And we need to praise God that His eye is on us and that He's even praying for us while this is taking place. And we can draw strength in the presence of Jesus to encourage us in the storm and be confident that in that hour of need, He will come to our help with His power as the great I Am, and there will be no need for us to be afraid. We'll just need to ask God to help us understand His purpose better, why He allows these storms, and set our heart to fulfill His purpose so that we will reach that other shore. If you're here tonight and subject to His invitation, we're going to stand and sing the invitation song tonight. I think Jeff picked out one that has the anchor theme in it, so we're going to stand and sing together.
I knew what it was going to be.
Will your anchor hold in the storm?